Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of the WCWTF podcast. I am the host, your host, the man of a thousand and four names, Tyrell Box Office Bust.
Tyrell Dick Kick.
Yep. Over and over and over.
I'm sure I'm going to need that one at some point, so I'm going to hold on to that one.
Okay. We only have like six episodes left, Ty.
Yeah, we're basically running it down.
Yeah.
Tonight, we are coming to you live from Hollywood.
For the probably Hollywood. Who knows?
The world premiere of the box office smash, Ready to Rumble,
guys,
brought to you by Butterfinger.
Our time machine is breaking down. Like, I don't want to get stranded here.
We're running out of juice.
Yeah, we need to go find more Jerry O'Connells.
We got to mash up some O'Connells. Stick them in the TARDIS.
Need you to bleed into this.
Okay, boss.
Oh, boy. I am Killer Greg. You can find me at KillerGreg17 on Twitter.
And this is Megastar Mark. You can find me at Megastar Mark. And gentlemen.
Yes.
We're here.
We're here. Yes.
A heavily requested review.
Yeah.
It was only a matter of time.
Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, no offense to our listeners, but like, we do this chronologically.
Yeah.
You probably could figure out when we were going to get around
to
it.
Thankfully, though, when we progress, there is no TNA movie. So, I mean.
We don't know that.
No, there could be.
I'm sure I can find one.
Yeah.
There's got to be a Kurt Angle, like, Believes in Jesus movie out there somewhere.
Or a Sting movie. There's got to be, like, yeah, absolutely.
I know for certain there's a Sting Believes in Jesus movie.
Yeah, he filmed it.
Yes.
Yeah, he filmed it.
Fuck you. What? Sting? The man's made of cocaine and regret.
There's still a Jeff Jarrett biopic, and he offered to send him one for free. I said, don't bother. You don't need to do that.
What?
He said to sign it, too. I'm like, no.
You say yes. When Jeff Jarrett asks if you want a biopic, you say yes.
He's working at WWE now, isn't he, Jeff Jarrett?
Apparently.
Yeah, he's a producer or something like that. Good for him. Like, he's got a good brain for the business, and, I mean, we all love him, so.
And a great talent for the business.
Yeah,
Let him wrestle more.
There's a Sting Moment of Truth, which is the fake biopic.
Okay.
About his.
Now, is that the documentary that TNA put out?
I don't know if TNA put it out, but it's like. It was around that time, so it might be
they put out. I remember now, they put out a documentary about Sting, and it was basically just him walking up and down a beach and occasional, like, saying inspirational things. Pretty good. You know, 5 out of 5.
And then we've got another movie called The Encounter.
Ooh.
Five strangers with nothing in common are forced to come together at a remote roadside eatery. Because of a road closure, they place their orders with the diner's omniscient owner, who seems to know everything about them and claims he is Jesus.
Oh, we're watching that one. Holy shit, I stand corrected.
Starring Bruce Marciano as Jesus and Steve Sting Borden as Nick.
Definitely.
So wait a minute. What was the name of that movie?
That one is The Encounter. Oh. The other one is Sting Moment of Truth.
Moment of Truth, we can watch the whole thing on YouTube.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
The Encounter. It's like that John Cusack movie where they're all the same person.
They're all the same Jesus.
What's the name of that movie?
Jesus Squared.
Motel. Identity.
There you go. Motel Jesus.
Motel. Hotel. Identity.
Boy, remember rap music in like 2004?
I thought you were, remember John Cusack? I'm like, yeah, I remember him. He tried.
What's he doing now? I bet you he's super fat.
Look it up.
I am.
You think he's Val Kilmer fat?
Oh, boy.
You think he's turned into a pumpkin?
We do have a podcast to talk about here.
This is fine. This is what our listeners...
You said we were at Hollywood. We're talking about Hollywood's fucking topical, Ty.
John Cusack was very involved in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Look, in my brain, John Cusack and the Arquettes are all basically the same family.
Mm-hmm.
There's Joan and Patricia and the other one. And
they're like Targaryens. They intermarried and they just have like just kids with each other. It's all like a circle.
Right.
Just a crossbreeding of Arquettes and Cusacks.
And Cusacks. Cuquettes.
Cusack. Apparently. Bill Cusack, his brother. I'm on John Cusack's IMDb.
How's he looking? What's he done?
And
why isn't he in a Marvel movie? He could play.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Because he hasn't had work since 2012.
Perfect.
I mean,
Robert Downey Jr. was dead. Yeah, basically.
You're telling me he couldn't beat the Wasp?
His career was literally dead. That's amazing.
Ant-Man and the Wasp and the Wasp. Sorry, John Cusack and Kate from Lost and Clueless Dude. Two Wasps.
Two Wasps. No waiting. It's an all Wasp three-way.
Quantum Realm.
I'm going to just go ahead and...
Oh, God. God, I think the Ascension's time machine has room for one more. Come on in, John Cusack.
Oh, man.
Get that dick out. I'm going to go ahead and kick that Kid Rock theme song.
Has he? Good for him.
Singularity, direct to VOD. Oh boy, he's done a lot of direct to VODs.
Oh no. Where though? I haven't seen him on like Netflix or anything. What is his VOD? What is his VOD of choice?
What's your VOD, what's your VOD, bro?
That's a thing. We're making that a thing.
Yo, you VODing?
Yo, I'm totally VODing tonight. Turn the lights down.
Y'all want to get together and VOD tonight?
Yo, girl. Turn the lights down and VOD with you.
It's the two of you and then Nick Cage and John Cusack.
Perfect. Oh, God.
Hey, you guys going to VOD?
Yeah.
Heard you guys VODing in here.
Tell me if this doesn't sound like just a terrible fucking idea. This is Singularity. It's the direct to VOD starring John Cusack. One Mr. John Cusack.
Is that his name in the movie?
Sure.
Cusack. John.
John Cusack, please. John Cusack.
It's like me, but funny. Singularity began as a low-budget sci-fi film called Aurora, which was shot in 2013 in the Czech Republic and Switzerland. John Cusack was not involved in the original shoot. Years later, scenes with Cusack interacting only with some guy were shot and inserted into the new production.
Oh, no.
And extensive CGI effects were used to tie the new material to the original film.
Oh, God. I like extensive CGI effects straight to video.
Yeah. If that was not the recipe for a Cloverfield, I don't know what it is.
I was going to say, that's Cloverfield 3. Or
yeah, man.
Whatever, 4, wherever we're on right now.
Yeah.
It started off as a 14 Cloverfield Street, and then now it's something else. Now it's the Singularity.
Listen, guys.
The Cloverfield Singularity.
Guys, I'm doing Star Wars. Just lay off me.
So what are we talking about?
Star Wars The Next Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Starring
John
Cusack and Joan Cusack.
Nope. Jedi are done.
No, they're not. They're back, dude.
Nope. Over.
No, like a bunch of SJWs, the other ones. A bunch of Gamergators got upset that they killed all the Jedi. So yeah. Now they're back in like a big way.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
They were never gone.
The name of the fucking movie was The Last Jedi. He died.
The whole point, though, was like everybody's a Jedi now. Like the religion is not just for like the elite. Like that was the whole concept of the last movie.
Well, now Skywalker's back and also the Emperor. So Jedis are back.
Christ.
Because that's what everyone was clamoring for.
I hope he didn't like that rad movie.
Yeah, right.
It's all dead.
Which one? The Force Awakens? That was a rad movie.
Yeah. That was a rad movie.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. I cried.
Did you?
Yeah, bitch. I did.
Oh, we saw it opening night. Greg turned around and went back into the theater seat again.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I love that sure movie. Did. Great movie. No, that's
it was
awesome.
A good one. Yeah. I enjoyed that one.
I like Rogue One.
Yeah, it was all right.
I like the last 10 minutes of Rogue One.
Yeah, it was all right.
All right, guys, let's stop talking about Star Wars. We got better movies to talk about.
Man, you know,
Solo.
We were talking about Nintendo. We're talking about like Rogue One. We're talking about like Star Wars. Yeah. Let's keep going with this. This is fine. What are we doing here? What are we talking about? Some David Arquette shit?
Talking about David Arquette and Ready to Rumble.
All right, let's talk about
Ready to Rumble. Right,
Ready
right.
to Rumble.
Right.
The sooner we get done with this, the sooner we never have to talk about it again. The
sooner we talk about Nintendo and Star Wars. All right, cool. All right, take us away, Ty.
Yeah, so we just saw Ready to Rumble. Yeah. What'd you guys think?
So now, Greg, you had never seen it.
No.
I hadn't seen it in about 10 years. So a lot of it was, I honestly forgot half that movie. Like,
right.
Completely forgot it. I remember they had a doo-doo truck, you know, at the beginning. That's hard to forget. And I remember Rose McGowan was in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
She's in like 3 scenes.
Yeah.
They based her character. Okay. Greg's never seen it.
Okay.
Mark's seen it once or twice.
Yep.
I've watched this movie constantly.
Yeah. Ty, every time we interrupt him to do this podcast, he's watching it. He's watching
yeah.
Ready.
I've seen this movie a good amount of times.
More than 10?
Probably around then, yeah.
Really?
Oh, boy. Ty, you needed to make better decisions.
Ty, what's your favorite movie?
We need to grind up some O'Connells and go back in time to let you know that good movies exist.
No, Ty! Stop! All right, for real. Ty, what is your favorite movie, Ty?
Probably Evil Dead 2.
How many times have you seen Evil Dead 2?
A lot.
Okay, more than 10?
More than 10?
Oh, wait
okay.
more than 10.
That's where I was getting at. I just want to make sure.
Well, no. Okay.
I didn't want to make sure, like, 12.
I would say I probably sat down to watch Ready to Rumble
80 times.
Maybe. The issue is it was something I put on the background when
I understand when you're masturbating.
So right.
You know, there's that scene with all the Nitro girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I gotta rush to bust one out before David Arquette pops on screen and ruins it.
Yeah.
And if I bust one out when David Arquette's on the screen, I gotta start all over again.
Well, that means you're gay. That's fine.
We call that Arquetting.
Yeah.
Now you're gay.
Yep.
I gotta go collect it and gotta put it back in.
Right.
Now
Steiner style. Just a funnel with a straw in the end.
Hey, babe, get the spigot.
I get two on my speed dial. Scott, it happened again.
Yeah.
And he comes over.
Were you Arquetting?
Were you Arquetting?
This is an intervention. But also sad.
Just like I like
but
it.
But also hot.
You're the sad guy.
My favorite things. Scott was not in this movie.
Weird.
No, yeah. Scott Steiner. No Lex Luger. Well, we have a theory about Lex.
Yeah.
Yeah, our theory is Lex was the one that we put in charge while they were off filming the movie.
Hello, this is President Luger.
Yep.
Launch the nukes. I don't have that power.
Yeah. Sir, this...
Get me a sandwich.
Sir, this is a Denny's.
I don't have that power.
You're talking into a play school phone? The cow says. Shut up, advisor cow.
Get me a sandwich.
So Ready to Rumble is an...
Oh, my God.
Ready to Rumble is...
The Lex Luger, president of WCW playset. He's got like little fake Hogan contracts and LWO t-shirts.
Just hanging in the back.
You pull the string, it spins around. The Luger says.
He presses a button and little confetti pyro pops out.
Yay, me! Posing.
I'm helping.
It's a mirror he can pose in.
Just little kitty fire Russo buttons. Little piles of fake cocaine.
Fake cocaine sold separately.
It makes like a little squeaky noises when he bashes his head into it.
There's a big like gun safe lock on the actual fire Russo button.
You did a good job, Lex.
Yeah, good job.
Thanks.
Hey, Lex. Buddy, you ran the company for a whole day.
That was good. Great job. Hey, you can press the button now. Banner falls down. You did it.
I win.
Lex is win.
Here's a whole case of bologna.
Well, no, you know what? We gotta take some taxes off that because
Hogan needs his cut.
Hogan needs his cut.
Take these LWO shirts too.
Hold on. Just let me reach around there.
Hope he didn't need that. All right.
Thanks, Mr. Bischoff.
Oh.
God, if Luger ever shows up to one of the local cons, all three of us got to go. Like,
we
together.
Saw him.
I know you saw him, but like all three of us. Like, I got to be there. I got to be there.
We'll get him to sign the playset.
I feel like he's seen the hashtag. I feel like he has to have at this point.
Maybe.
Right? I've linked to him. I've added him like so many times. Like,
right.
He's got to see it now.
But you assume he actually uses his Twitter.
He does. He posted about how much he loves Jesus 2 days ago.
Oh.
Anybody can post that. I'll post about how much Lex loves Jesus.
Well, that's perfect. We know wrestlers have seen our shit. We know that.
Right.
We know Lodi has. We know Vince Russo has. We know Jeff Jarrett has. So, like, you can't convince me that as much as we tweet at Lex Luger, he's not aware of us.
Are you texting the right Lex Luger?
Maybe.
He probably doesn't get, like, Twitter on his play phone.
Yeah.
He presses the button. The Russo says, "Don't touch that button, Lex."
So Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, let's go back to that. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean,
I had a train of thought I was going to.
Oh, what was it?
We derailed real quick.
Ready to Rumble is
just
the...
once I want to have a podcast where we have a topic, and at no point do I actually let Ty talk about the topic.
This might be that night.
You guys are killing it so far.
Yeah, but we're also very funny.
Yep.
Much funnier than this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Segway.
Final thoughts?
Let's wrap it up.
Don't watch it.
Yep. Four thumbs down.
Yeah.
So it's the infamous WCW movie.
Yep.
You've got starring David Arquette, Scott Kahn, Joey Pants, Oliver Platt.
Martin Landau.
Martin Landau's in there. Who replaced Jack Palance.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, Jack Palance passed, I would assume, before this was done? Yes. Okay.
That Billy Crystal kid got a hold of him.
God damn, though. If Jack Palance was in this, you would have... Well, actually, you replace one Academy Award winner with another. I mean, that's a pretty impressive. And, like, Oliver Platt has won Golden Globes. What's that?
The Birdcage.
Birdcage.
Was he in The Birdcage?
Sure. Sounds right.
Seems like a movie he'd be in.
Let's talk about, speaking of Oliver Platt, what a weird cast for the main wrestler, right? Oliver Platt, who's known for what? Like, Shakespearean acting, right?
And Lake Placid.
Lake Placid, that's right.
He's actually in 2012, also starring John Cusack.
Yeah.
A movie I truly love.
I can see that.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
I can see that being a very Greg movie.
I really do.
So, like, it just, like, Oliver Platt doesn't make, because I think he's supposed to be a Jerry the King Lawler, like, you know.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. Like,
all right, let's get there.
Joey Pants, what's his name, Vic Vinegar.
Yeah.
He is based off of Eric Bischoff, who was going to play himself until he got fired unceremoniously and then sent home to sit around until they brought him back. Jimmy King is based on a hybrid of Ric Flair and Jerry the King. And their initial confrontation with him getting screwed out of the company is based on Bischoff doing the same thing to Ric Flair so many years ago.
Right. Okay.
Sasha, the Nitro girl that Rose McGowan plays, is based off Kimberly Page.
Of course. I knew that one. That was easy.
That's pretty obvious. Right. She's wearing pink all the time. And Arquette and Scott Kahn are based off of an amalgamation of what WCW sees their company fan base as, which are just inbred hicks who believe whatever's going on.
Finish your thought. But here's the thing. Is that we talk about this maybe like 10 minutes in to the movie about, like, is this what they really think? This is insulting to WCW fans if you saw this at the time, right?
This is a weird movie.
They put these fans down as, like, guys who, like, shove their fingers up their ass, who are, like, no job, aimless, stupid as fuck, work at, like, you know, like, shit companies. Literally, shit companies.
They are self-employed made men who work in sewage treatment.
Entrepreneurs.
Right. In the poo-poo business. But, like, my point is, if you're making this movie and you have full control, wouldn't you try to pretend like your fans are more with it and cooler? Because these guys are really lame. And it makes you just feel like they're insulting their fan base.
Was there fan backlash? Because maybe they got it. I mean, this
movie was an attempt to get more fans. It was supposed to get people to like WCW.
Right. But, like, if I wanted to get into magic cards, right?
Yeah.
Right? And you guys filmed the movie and had nothing but, like, the smelly, like weird neckbeards who, like, ostracized you from ever wanting to get involved. And I watched the movie based on that. I'm like, well, fuck that. I don't want to do that.
Right. And, I mean, no joke, like, Wizards of the Coast, people who make magic, they're like, they have a huge ad campaign that's just like, no, they're not all gross. Look, there's ladies now.
Is that really what they're doing? Like, honestly. But honestly, that's smart because to try to broaden your horizon, which is what you'd imagine, Ty, they would do for this movie.
Well, rewind, like, 10 years ago when that movie Fanboys came out? It was about the nerdy friends who were trying to steal a copy of episode 1 for their cancer friend.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're supposed to be rooting for them, but they're all nerdy turbo virgins.
Yeah.
Like, right? Were they? I don't really remember that movie. Kristen Bell's in it.
Yeah.
Is she?
Love her.
Wow.
She plays the girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
She must have been really young.
They did have a nerd girl, though, so.
It was post-Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goddamn Veronica Mars. Good show.
They're bringing it back.
Again?
Yep.
The movie was really good.
I think HBO or someone's planning on doing a series with it.
Get the fuck out.
That's what I heard.
Oh, my God.
Game of Thrones ends?
Yep.
I would prefer Veronica Mars over Game of Thrones.
Absolutely.
Game of Thrones is total shit now. These last two episodes are all right.
I like the song in the last one.
Real hot take from Greg over there.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones sucks except for the new stuff.
Weezer sucks except for their last album of cover songs.
And the last three albums before that, they were all right.
Yeah.
That one album.
Just the new stuff. Play the new stuff.
You guys get ready. The drum solo's coming up.
Nobody cares about your hits.
What the
play
fuck
that
is
that Toto cover again?
Toto.
You broke, Greg.
Can you imagine someone going to see Weezer and just wanting to hear their new songs?
Their new cover song.
Guys, what do you think they're going to cover tonight?
Play more Wham.
I really hope it's Africa by Toto.
They do a cover of all those Smash Mouth covers.
No, guys, why can't we be friends? I think...
Hey, now, we're all stars.
You joke, but I think if Weezer did a cover of All Star, it would break the internet.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's sad.
So, it's basically Jimmy King is the head guy in the company, gets screwed out by Sinclair because Jimmy King is a drunk, uncaring, late all the time asshole. Wrestling is completely fake in this. It's not even predetermined or anything. It's completely fake until it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a problem. Like, they didn't quite know where to stand on that. Like, they were, like, you at the first, when you hear it, you have Jimmy King, like, call spots in the ring. And it was clear that they were saying, like, okay, this is fake. Wink, wink. But then it's not, because there's also, like, trainers involved who are getting you ready to, like, go in there and do the pro wrestling. So it's weird. It's, like, in a weird nexus here.
I feel like this was almost a Russo thing where it's like, all right, wrestling is fake. Except back in the day when you had Martin Lando, his character, Sal Mandini, he would teach you how to really wrestle, which is how they would do it back in the day. They would do like real wrestlers.
Yeah.
And now, with the way we're doing wrestling, it's real again. So yeah, they may be calling some spots, but they're actually hitting each other, and it's real deal. Any match, any time, no DQs. Don't even worry that ECW was a thing.
And that Sal guy, the guy who plays, Martin Landau plays, that's got to be like a Stu Hart. Like, that's got to be like the old, like, dude who would just stretch you in the dungeon type of creepy guy. Because, like, that's when I first saw that, my first thought was like, okay, this is like the old school trainer, you know?
I believe, yep, Stu Hart. You were correct.
Yeah, right. It had to be. Yeah.
There's a lot of one-to-ones. So they meet Jimmy King. After he gets his ass kicked, he gets title stripped, he gets fired, because in this WCW universe, there's no contract.
Yeah.
These two artards, dinguses, go find him and like try to get him back in the good graces and reclaim his glory. He straight up tells him, it's fake. Wrestling's not real. There's no Jimmy King. I'm just a character, which is definitely like a... Oh, look at how dumb wrestling is.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Kind of goes back to the original point. He also, though, beforehand, they go talk to Jimmy King's wife, who is played by, like, Auntie Sabrina from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Carolyn Ray.
There you go. Carolyn Ray. And then they meet his, like, inbred son. I guess he's inbred. I don't know. Or just stupid.
Yeah.
Son.
He's just a greaseball.
Yeah.
Jimmy King is not an attractive man. He's not, like, a rock.
Right.
Or
just, I can't get over that it's Oliver Platt. It's like... Was their first choice like Colin Firth? And they're like, come on in there. And he couldn't do like the hip toss. Like, oh, Oliver Platt, never mind. We got somebody better.
Hugh Grant's taken. Yeah. He's doing this Notting Hill movie. Who else can we get?
Chris Farley dead yet? Even Chris Farley would be a better...
Yeah, they're like, no, he's... Nope, he's dead.
He'd be funny.
Like, right.
I do not... Think of a worse person for this role.
I honestly can't think of a worse person.
And like, to some extent, it makes sense because Jerry the King Lawler is not in shape. Like Jerry the King Lawler, even when he was like wrestling actively, was kind of chunky. Like so, like that's the body they were going for, I think, with the whole like King gimmick. But it just like Oliver Platt. It's weird.
Was this a secret dig at Lawler?
That's a really weird dig.
He's like, I mean, the guy's the king.
Yeah,
he's totally shitty. He has a shitty family and a shitty son.
Well, it was him. It was him and Ric Flair that they based the King off of, which is why the King keeps on turning on his son, and the son keeps on turning on him because of Rick and David. They constantly go flip back and forth on each other.
Mm.
There's a lot of really weird meta shit. In this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
Now, Ty, do you want to talk about the director of this movie?
The director of this movie is, fucking Brian Robbins.
Okay, what did he do?
He did some classics, Varsity Blues in 1999.
I don't want your life, Greg.
I don't want
Kay.
Your life. I don't want your WCW movie. He has directed... Oh, man. Oh, boy.
get to the one I want you to talk about.
He directed Good Burger.
That's not it, but
I'm on board.
He went up in my eyes there. I kind of, all right.
And he has directed the 2006 Shaggy Dog.
Oh, the one with Tim Allen.
Tim Allen Shaggy Dog.
Wow.
I know the ones that Mark wants to talk about. Norbit.
Ugh, I'm off.
And the follow-up, Meet Dave. The one with Eddie Murphy, who has the little Eddie Murphys who live in his head.
Yeah, right. Right. One of the guys from Mystery Science wrote that. Isn't that weird? Yeah, no. It's sad.
Look, maybe the guy's script was shit. But, like, the disconnect between, like, a script and the movie that actually comes out is so so wide sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because so many people, like, the actor, you'd think Eddie Murphy reads a script. No, he probably ad-libbed that entire fucking thing, and, like, the director has a lot of say, and, like, things can just change on the set. The editor can change an entire movie. I feel bad when you, like, write a script, and then a movie turns out to be shit.
Yeah.
Like, good old Max Landis. I'm kidding. I don't care if he sucks. P.S. Bright, what a shitty movie.
Yeah.
Oh, was that Max Landis joint?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell because it makes no sense and is stupid.
Just like him.
It's always funny when, like, one person has, like, a brilliantly talented moment. Like, that Wrestling Isn't Wrestling is genuinely an interesting, like, web series.
It absolutely is.
And I would even go so far as to say Chronicle was pretty good.
I heard that.
Everything else has been total fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you have a moment of genius but be awful? Also, apparently he's a pretty awful human
He's a
being.
Disgusting person, so that's what turns me
off
of him.
It's a shame, because I liked him for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are on this road to redemption. They attack, they come backstage, they beat up Joey Pants and DDP, who is the new champion who beat up Oliver King, Platt.
Mm-hmm.
So the crux of the movie is that he's going to have one match in Vegas in a month at the next pay-per-view, the Royal Bash, which is weird that they call them that. They're still calling it that after they fired the King.
Kind of liked it, like the when you get to it, like the setting of the Royal Bash.
Oh, yeah.
I wish like the WWE did stuff that like in you know today they had a castle and shit.
Even the movie really directors cool. know you need a good set right. to sell a pay per view.
Absolutely,
the logo of the Royal Bash
Very
was cool.
Good.
They had a drawbridge.
There. Yeah, God, imagine a drawbridge goes down. Fucking Bray Wyatt comes out. I'd wash shit out of that middle of the day.
You know what would be wicked spooky for The Undertaker to go out on? Just like a midday match. Just like a real spooky midday.
Right.
Nice summer afternoon right. match.
Birds chirping. Beautiful.
Sipping mimosas. Yeah. Wrestling your final match.
Yeah, he just popped on a Hogan shirt and he's just hanging out on the beach. He's got a great tan, though. He's wearing Surfer's Things paint. Oh, my God. This is an infamous movie. I don't know how much you guys really want to go beat for beat into it.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, there's stuff I want to talk about. Like I said, the Oliver Platt thing is weird. Their choice of, like, you know, this is, so they must have filmed this in 1999, right? Because it was released in 2000. So you figure they'd film it right there. And, like, I know Canyon had a really big part in this in terms of he was the stunt double for Oliver Platt, which is funny.
Canyon was Oliver Platt's stunt double.
Yeah.
He only appears in the movie as himself in a split second as a dude in the crowd at the end.
And then you say, who is the stunt double for David Arquette?
Shane Helms.
Okay.
The Hurricane himself.
Yep.
David Arquette. Scott Kahn, all his own stunts.
Good for him. See?
Really?
Yeah.
Man, don't fuck with Sonny's kid.
Yeah, those cons. They know what's up.
I'm telling you, man. He's still trying to avenge his dad. R.I.P. The thing is, like, the WCW at this time, in 1999, was clearly going under. Like, we've done the podcast. If you've listened to any of our shows before, we all talk about how 99 is clearly a down year, not getting any better, right?
I really hope this is the first episode that someone listens to.
What?
Go back in the archive, motherfucker. But the weird thing is, WCW, and I know you have to do this, but it's so funny. It's like every place they go in this movie, it's like sold out at the New York Arena. And every arena is exactly the same arena.
Yes.
You can tell they had one set and they just changed like the name of it.
Right,
they
rented out like, oh man, what was that? I can't remember a specific one. They rented out like that 5,000 arena in Iowa.
Right.
And they're like, just shoot all the, just shoot all
the. Oh, the Cheyenne War Memorial Arena?
Yeah. Hysterical. And there's like, even then where like, it's sold out in New York City and they pan the crowd, it's like 1,200 people. It's like, you couldn't have done any better. My God.
And then to flip, on the flip side of that, every other scene with anybody who's not into wrestling is all like, wrestling? You fucking boob.
Right.
Oh, would two losers have two tickets to Monday Night Nitro live from Cheyenne? Yes.
Yeah.
That was, that might have been my favorite line
that
of
was,
the movie.
That was funny.
Definitely top three.
Yeah. I like how the two girls at the beginning who they're kind of like going after, one of them's name is Brittany, because it is, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. Got to have a Brittany in there.
Yeah.
Right.
And a Kelly.
And a Kelly. Christina.
Sasha.
Is there a Sasha?
Yeah.
Is that Rose McGowan?
Yes.
Rose McGowan. Want to talk about Rose McGowan? Ty, what is your favorite Charmed episode?
The one with Booker T and Scott Steiner.
Love that one.
There's no way that exists.
Yes, there is.
That exists?
Yes, there is.
What the fuck?
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
It's a magical wrestling episode.
I watched a bunch of episodes of Charmed. Not the all-time worst show.
No. That was the witch one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Not the new one, the old one.
There's a new one?
Oh, yes. God.
Who the fuck thought that was
is
a good
Rose
idea?
McGowan in this?
No.
Okay.
Which is why it sucks.
Who is the other one? There's another famous girl on that.
Alyssa Milano.
That's right.
Oh, and the bitchy one from that thing.
Shannon Doherty.
That's the one.
Oh, Shannon Doherty. Oh, God. She was like 40. Like, why was she in this?
And there was another one.
Was she super
this
old?
This was years ago when she was written off after the first season because she was a real B.
Okay.
Brave woman.
Gotcha. Hashtag boss babe.
No.
Okay. I like Alyssa Milano.
She's good.
She's
and then,
fun.
And then Rose McGowan comes and replaces.
Yeah, and there was another one, but she's not like famous.
Yeah.
She's like, nah, really.
She's like Charmed famous, so not famous.
You know what,
at all.
Though? The dude who played.
She's
like,
the one who will be at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Right. Next to the Red Ranger.
$75 for a handshake
and
a smile.
Holly Marie Combs.
I'm going to point out Tay-Mac only charged me $25, and he didn't charge me for a picture because Evelyn was there.
I pooped next to him for free, so I think one of us wins in this situation.
Fuck. I was very tempted to bring that up to him, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, man, in New York City.
Do you remember that time?
Remember?
You remember that time you did a bathroom in New York City next to a guy with Cooper's cape shirt on?
Yeah, and you did the poopies?
Oh, you do? That's cool.
That's cool. Can you sign it to my friend?
Can you sign the toilet paper roll?
He says thank you.
It's for him.
Thank you for not charging him for that.
Yeah. But like...
He reached down to hold your hand because you really needed it at that point.
Right. Yeah, you were just tired
You didn't touch it, though.
You should have.
Yeah, you should have.
He was there for you in your time of need.
Greg, there for Tay-Mac in his time of need.
Hey, buddy. How you doing in there? Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Please leave me alone, sir.
Why are you at every con?
Hey, buddy, you got the glow?
Yeah.
You got the glow in there? You need help with that? What's my name?
Every time I go poop, this guy sits in the stall next to me and just hums that song.
Remember some dumb guy? Remember that? And the fortune cookies? That was fun. You're fun. Yeah.
That's good. He looks great, by the way.
Yo, he does. Yeah, he's in ridiculous shape. Yeah.
That's been a long time.
I should have asked him about William H. Macy, although they didn't really share any airtime.
Yeah. Be like, hey, did you also bribe people to get your daughter into Harvard? Are you like best friends with William H. Muffman?
And Aunt Becky? And what a weird story.
Yeah, right? I love that.
It is funny.
Like, the most shocking thing to me about that whole fucking thing is that it's illegal.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, rich people have been bribing their way into colleges forever.
CNN, is just shook that this exists. I'm like, have you never been in the real world?
Aunt Becky has a fucking concert hall with her name on it. You think they didn't just let Aunt Becky's kids into USC?
I'm in the fucking golf industry, and the shit that I know happens is it would destroy CNN, apparently.
You bought a bunch of Aunt Becky boats. Of course she's on the crew team.
Is her face on the front? Uncle Jesse's in the back.
Becky's kid doesn't even have any arms. How is she on the crew team? She's trying her heart out, though. She's just the heart of this team. They just tie They tie a rope around Aunt Becky Jr. and just kind of trail her along in the boat. My name is Lisa. What's that, little Aunt Becky?
Say your name.
Good job.
Stroke. Oh, we lost another. Lost another little Aunt Becky today.
Get another one. Get some more money.
If only Aunt Becky would have bought some life jackets.
Bob Saget was supposed to provide those. Oh boy. So this movie.
Yeah. What other people can we talked about Rose McGowan. We talked about Oliver Platt.
So Rose McGowan, obvious Kimberly Page.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think about Joey Pants being as an Eric Bischoff?
He was fine.
Stand in.
Honestly, he was like he did the sleazy promoter. He was all right. He did nothing wrong in this movie. I like him. I always like that actor. He's always very good.
Yeah, Joey Pants is fine.
Yep. Yeah. Who else was in this? We were talking about Martin Landau.
What about the wrestler performances?
Okay.
This is everybody who's not the people we just talked about.
Let's talk about a cameo that Ty pointed out to us.
Before we get there, let's talk about the other wrestlers.
Okay, let's talk about the other. Okay, so Goldberg, extremely
front center guys.
Extremely wooden. Goldberg, as
Goldberg is.
Before his acting chops developed in Santa's Sleigh, he did not show a lot of gravitas in Ready to Rumble. We definitely needed some work.
Jimmy King, you puked on my shoes in Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the fans liked it.
Go ahead. You got this, King.
You were my tag partner.
Pop your shirt off. Take your shirt off. Let's see it.
Pop that shirt off, Oliver. you're ripped like me. You're ripped like me, Platt.
You're the real winner. No. No, Papa Goldberg.
I'm going to take that shirt off. I'm going to put this Uncle Goldberg shirt on you. Then we're going to pop that shirt off honorarily.
Oh, God.
So Goldberg, DDP, I think, does a serviceable job here.
Yeah, he's fine. There's nothing negative about DDP. Sting is dosed up again in this movie.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe, I know we make fun of Sting as, being doped up. Maybe that's just, a character he's doing.
I think he's supposed to be stoic.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think he's supposed to be, stoic and pensive and
brooding.
Right, I'm mad. I'm mad at society for casting me out.
Yeah.
What would Batman do?
Yeah.
This is what I think Batman would do. I'm just going to stand straight ahead with my eyes wide open.
And blink once.
Blink one time. And my mouth is going to be kind of a gape. And there's going to be a little bit of drool hanging down.
I'm Batman. I'm going to send you a box with your head in it. That's what Batman does.
That sounds like Batman.
Yeah. Sounds like a Batman move.
That's good.
Now, here I am on the zipline, Batman.
Maybe he was trying to be Batman.
You're my Joker.
So he has one line.
Yeah.
The real best part about this is the background wrestlers. You know, during the movie, Greg said that Canyon always knows how to find a camera. Conan always knows how to find a camera. And by God, right as Greg said it, he just mugs with a camera.
Yep. I like really how wonderful. At the beginning, DDP had a stable of wrestlers who were with him. And in the stable, it was Sid, Bam Bam Bigelow. I'm like, okay, fine. Like, you can convince me that could be a real stable. Prince Ikea.
What?
And who's the other one? There's another one that was equally stupid. Oh, Van Hammer.
Van Hammer.
Van Hammer was the other one. Oh, my God. And then Oliver Platt had his own group, okay? Now, when I think of Oliver Platt, maybe William Regal, right? That'd be a good one, right? Right.
Well, no, he's...
Or Dean Malenko, right? Good old Dino.
He wasn't in this, was he?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
I think the actual, the Radicals, I think, are about to jump over.
Right, but Perry
WWF.
Saturn was, Perry Saturn's one of his guys, yeah. As is, Kurt Hennig and Conan.
Weird stable.
It's weird that they didn't ask, Dino to do this, right? Because he probably would have been, a good hand to have, you know, working this show. Working all the in-ring stuff. That's all he can do, right?
They can't do that because then Dean's charisma would just suck up everybody else's.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing we can do, guys. We can ask Dean. So, Dean, it's been a while.
I was watching a lot of, Brando movies and who's that other? John Travolta movies. Just handsome, classically masculine men in Hollywood to prepare for my role in Ready to Rumble.
Okay.
The beautiful movie starring myself.
Top billing.
Yes. Sadly, they cut all my lines.
Man.
Yes. Originally, the movie was several hours long. There was a tremendous 12-act structure. It was my Hamlet. I acted my heart out as Travolta would. As Brando would. as Cary Grant would.
Right.
I ad-libbed. I
wow
danced. Yes, I know. It's called acting.
I'm with you.
All right. Real Malenko doesn't dance, but I would for the role of Dean the King Malenko, as I was in this movie.
Right.
But sadly, William Turner, is that his name? The TNT guy?
Yeah.
Tedrick Turner.
Right. That's, you got it.
He said that audiences couldn't handle the emotion of the Malenko experience.
It was overwhelming for audience.
So they cut it out.
There were rumors of a love scene, a lovemaking scene in this movie. Can you talk about that?
I can. Okay. I mean, I shouldn't, because the Lord sees everything we do, and he knows when I'm talking about a sacred bond between a man and a woman. But there was what. Love is not the correct word. There was a romantic scene between me and Miss McGowan, I believe was her name.
Yeah, that's her.
We passionately stared at each other for several minutes. And then we prepared the pre-coital ceremony. We prayed. We read our Bibles. We sang several hymns glorifying the Lord, because we knew, I knew, and I think Miss McGowan also knew, that even simulated lovemaking between a non-marital couple was frowned upon. But in order for me to properly convey the experience to the audience, I thought it was important. We made love in front of all those people. I'm not proud of it. I asked them to put up a sheet, but the sheet fell down, and I was really into it. I shouldn't go into any more details now that I think about it. Because, you know, the Lord, he sees everything we do, and now he's not happy with me.
I understand.
I appreciate your time, but I gotta go pray.
Thank you for joining us again, Dean.
Shut up.
I like that. In my mind, the film, the movie they shot with Dean Malenko, they just cut all Dean Malenko stuff out, and then 10 years later, they recut it with Mickey Rourke, and that became The Wrestler.
That's right.
Him just having a prayer fuck session.
With extensive CGI to bridge the two.
Naturally.
I know if I wrestle one more match, he would have died. But we need to prayer fuck now.
What a good line.
Come here, girl, and my cousin Vinny.
Come here, girl. Isn't that his daughter in that movie? Oh, no, no. What's her face? Evan Rachel Wood is his daughter in that movie.
What's her name?
Yeah. We will, Evan Rachel Wood, we will not pray or fuck. We will just pray her.
That's Aunt May.
We will pray or not May. Fuck.
Yeah.
Who's going to bang Jon Favreau in the next movie, I guess?
Let me ask you a question. This has been really bugging me. This is a Star Wars question.
Yes. I got a highlight question next, so go. Yeah.
What the fuck's with the Force ghosts?
Like, what do you mean?
What are they doing the whole fucking time? Like, at the end of Jedi,
yeah.
Luke sees his dad and Yoda and Obi-Wan, and they're just chilling there. Like, you know, and, like, he knows that he can go over and talk to him and stuff.
Right.
Where, is there, like, a Force Heaven? Like, what are they doing? They're just playing cards
there's
in
ghosts.
Force Heaven?
Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not.
Yeah, but they're totally sentient, man.
Yeah, sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not.
Obi-Wan just rolls around into the fucking swamp, and he's like, actually, let me tell you the plot of this movie.
It's like... It's not.
Let's just get a couple hours out of the way. Here we go.
It's not unlike the movie Ghost.
Okay, with you.
Where Ghost Patrick Swayze needs to muster up a lot of energy and expend himself in order to move that coin and eventually protect his lover from violence of some sort. I haven't seen the movie in a while. So when he takes over,
there's a bar involved, and he has to. Yeah. He's like a bouncer there. I get it.
Yeah, but like. Yoda just shows up in The Last Jedi and is like, oh, look at me. I'm twiddling my thumb. Now we got some fucking lightning. Like, yeah, it wasn't hard for him to do.
Because that motherfucker's had like 40 years of just force
chilling.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. So you're saying like you get to charge up. Like if you haven't presented yourself in a while, you can use some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But like, Is he chilling with Obi-Wan in Force?
Yeah, there's like
limbo.
Yeah, they have to, because remember they communicate with each other. Like
for sure.
Yeah, right.
But the like you're a Force ghost. You can interact with people. Yet there's a new empire. You didn't think roll around be like, yo, bitches, this Snoke guy, you better watch out for him.
Right. You can go anywhere. Couldn't
Why
you like,
there's a new
them?
Darth Vader. Everyone look out, guys. Right. Darth Vader could show
well,
up
you can
and
only...
be like, look, there's a new Darth Vader. Right. There's a new me, guys.
Or just like grab the new one like, and be like, stop being a dingus.
Right.
Like, I fucking saw the light at the end,
right.
man. Why does nobody remember that shit?
I'm a fucking Force ghost.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
I'm
You're
a
not
good
honoring
guy now.
Me. Your mask looks stupid.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's like a time travel thing where they can only appear at fixed points. Like once everything's set.
One of the fixed points is to just show up and watch a bunch of Ewoks shoot fireworks into the air?
Yeah, because at that point, the Empire has been beaten. So that is a fixed point where they are, because that way they cannot actually interact with anything that could happen. So it's like a point where it's like, oh, well, you already know everything they could have told you. And then.
But Luke like, just shows up. Or not Luke, Obi-Wan just shows up. He's like, go see Dagobah. Find Yoda. You're dying
that's,
in the
that's
you're dying in the snow.
Well, that's because he hadn't charged up enough of his Force junk.
I guarantee you, by the way, in this
Why
new
am
movie,
I arguing this? I think it's stupid too.
You know. I haven't read any spoilers. I don't know who's in it, but I have this weird, you know, Hayden Christensen's gonna show up, right? Like he's gotta be in it, right?
Oh, he's the only one left.
He's the only one left. You got to have him in this movie.
If Lando's there, old Hado is Hado's there.
He's got to be there. Also, outside chance, Qui-Gon. Throwing that one out there.
Oh, that's happening,
I
want to
see some Liam. So,
yeah, their Force ghosts are going to fight the evil Force ghosts.
There are no evil Force ghosts.
Oh,
who's
my
the evil
God.
Force ghosts?
We don't know there's not.
Yeah.
You heard, so the Emperor is an evil Force ghost?
You know
what's
happening.
It's going to be Force ghost Palpatine, or Sith ghost Palpatine, Darth Maul and General Grievous taking on Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn and Anakin.
And this is happening.
That one rapist Ewok. They don't talk about him.
No.
And then,
Billy the race.
That's how the movie's going to start. That's how the movie starts. And then they're gonna be glowing blue and then glowing red. And then they're all gonna be like getting their sabers ready, and they're gonna nod to each other like, "Let's do this."
Yeah.
And then they're gonna run each other, and then, boom, 2 weeks earlier. And then
isn't that how Twilight ended?
And then everyone in the entire theater goes, "Oh." And then your expectations have been subverted.
Oh. That's definitely how Infinity War is going to go.
Yep.
Infinity War is going to suck.
That's going to be fine.
Oh, my God. Well, you're right. It's going to be fine. It's going to be 3.5 hours of me going like, all right.
It's going to make $1 billion. That
oh, my God. Day. Easily.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish
that is insane.
Guys,
I hope it beats Avatar, like... though. Fuck Avatar.
I do, too. I fucking hate Avatar.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I really want to finish this.
All right, we're almost done.
This podcast has gone virtually nowhere.
No, I think this is one of our best ones ever.
I'm having a good time.
Let's keep all this in. Especially the Billy part.
Billy the rapist Ewok.
So
I don't see Ewoks as a sexual race, though.
That's why Billy's so horrible.
I don't understand what you're doing. Billy, why?
Teddy Rock's been fucking another Teddy Rock.
Listen, Mr. Warwick Davies, I'm very, very excited to have you here working with us as an Ewok. But I mean, you were such classic things like Willow and everything. But I'm not sure about these rewrites you sent to us.
Hi, I'm Warwick Davis. I've brought my own script.
Your interpretation of this character doesn't fit the story.
Just film it, and we'll go from there.
Just trust me.
They cut it all. Gave him the footage, and that's how Leprechaun started.
Yeah, perfect. There you go.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. This is our best episode we've ever done.
Yeah, well, yes. Wait until you have to listen to it.
People love this shit.
Yeah, they do.
This is what they tune in for. Certainly not the wrestling.
For a final note, I've seen this movie a handful of times.
That was your first note. That's the only note.
I was going to say, I enjoy this movie.
Yes. Okay. Do you?
I really
didn't, Ty.
I know. I understand why you wouldn't.
Sure.
I think there's something incredibly just wild about it. The movie like this got made with the people that it did, with a script that's so bad.
Right.
And a premise that's so odd, with characters that are so out there, for a company that's failing so hard. It is so wild to me. I mean, there are a few times when I genuinely get laughs out of it, but, you know, there's a lot of really dumb, stupid shit to it, too. Like, there's shit truck stuff, and he sucks his friend up with a vacuum, with the poop vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
Which lasts, like, 5 minutes.
When did American Pie come out?
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had the same thought that this reminded me a lot of American Pie.
98, 99, somewhere in there.
I'm curious. I mean, so to me, it seems peculiar that this is how WCW decided to spend their money. But, you know, like, as I mentioned a couple times while we were watching it and all that stuff, like, this movie certainly is of a time.
It is.
Did you look it up?
99.
It's all like, right. Yeah. You know, American Pie, Road Trip, this, I mean, to a certain extent, Freddy Got Fingered, and that, like, entire thing, like, of just sort of this, like, I don't know, I don't want to say gross out, but, like, gross people doing things.
No, like, Tom Green was a... People, I think, didn't go through that don't understand. First off, they don't even know who he is.
Right.
But they don't understand how popular he was for that small microcosm of time. Like, right. He was everywhere. And that was such a big... Everybody was talking about that shit. And I feel like this is a interesting movie where it is, like, a snapshot of that era and that type of culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, except the difference is... Like, Tom Green set out to make a terrible movie with Freddy Got Fingered.
Right.
WCW did not. They were like, this is going to be it, man. This is our Hail Mary.
Yeah.
We're going to bring him. We got Lit. We got.
Yeah. Right.
Got Lit.
Lit again.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, Tom Green, regardless of what you think of Freddy Got Fingered, like, these movies were popular. This, like, idiots go on the road type movie was a popular movie. It makes sense that they would put their money in this because it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And they were popular.
Yeah.
I get it. It's like, let's watch these dummies get into wacky shenanigans.
Right.
Let's make Road Trip with our wrestlers.
And it's so funny because, like, once again,
but
back
not even
then,
that.
But, like, it back, the whole idea that you could, like, go to a movie and, like, you were always hoping to see, like, the hot chick show her boobs and everything like that, which is, like, I guarantee you with Rose McGowan, that's exactly what they were hoping you were hoping for when you went to go see this, ignoring the fact that it's PG-13.
Like, but. Right. Like.
That was every a big one part of these, that era, though. It was
right.
Weird.
Every one of these movies had a Jenny McCartney or a Rose McGowan.
Shannon Elizabeth.
Or what's her face? Yasmin Bleeth. Like,
yes.
You know, like, they all had one of them who, like, got mostly naked but never did.
Right. Yep. And it's just, like, it is
a
weird...
Sarah Pauly, if you will. Yeah.
It is just strange, though, that, like... It was maybe like a 4 or 5 year span where those movies came out. And then they made more. I remember they made more American Pies and people had kind of like moved past it. And it wasn't you went to go see it because like, oh, I remember American Pie when you were growing up. And it was all like, oh, boo.
There's like
and,
five American Pies, not including like the straight to DVD one.
There's American Pie. There's
one, wedding
two,
one.
Wedding.
Yeah.
Reunion. Okay. So four.
And the fun, like American Pie 1 and 2 are very like American Pie.
Yeah.
Wedding and Reunion did kind of move on a little bit past that. Some of it's still there to like remember these wacky jokes from when we were all younger, but they still kind of got with the times a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really consider American Pie is like a raunchy sex comedy.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't say it's like a laugh at these disgusting like dirty people.
You don't think so? Like
comedy.
The whole fucking the pie thing, and you know,
it's just more like laughing at
but
your own
still
cringy
like, there's
naivete.
Still like a lot of poop jokes. Like, doesn't one of the characters just get like the wicked poops so, like an entire scene? Like, that gross-out humor, that like, it's there. Like, I know that I'm not making the direct comparison that this and American Pie. What I'm saying is comedy had a subgenre at that time that this makes sense to. My only thesis here is that this movie makes sense from their perspective. It's cheap and it's popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to put out a movie, because like, we think about that, too, from WCW's business perspective, those movies did make money. Like, a lot of that genre did make a lot of cash. So if you're going to try to throw something out there, it's almost like a superhero movie now. You know it's going to make something.
Right.
You know?
And I mean, like, what in this movie cost anything? It was all stuff they had anyway.
Right.
I mean, you still got to pay your top wrestlers. Martin Landau's in there. I'm sure he costs some money.
Sure, but
Platt.
Like, you know, WWE, when they made movies, they make The Marine. Like, there's explosions and shit. Like, that costs money. This doesn't cost shit.
Yeah, good point.
Yep.
I like the idea that Rose McGowan did not want to do this movie, threw it in the garbage three times, but you know she had David Arquette like on the phone and was like, come on, we were in Scream together. You got to do this with
me. I don't
me.
Remember her in Scream at all, was she?
She was the friend.
She was, and his okay. sister.
Oh, yeah. She was Dewey Cox's sister in that movie.
I don't remember that at all. Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen Scream, so I remember Drew Barrymore.
Yo, come on, Scream is so
come on
Wink,
sis.
Yeah.
My Scream sister, well, let's
Scream,
go.
One of the best things I love about Scream is like it totally turned that genre upside down. Like you watch the first 5 minutes of it, and you're like, oh, okay.
It's like, all right, it's a slasher movie.
Right. And then like the marketing was done great because you had Drew Barrymore front and center with everything, and she did all the tours and everything like that, and then brilliant. Fucking Wes Craven, man. He knew what he was doing. He had a lot of issues with women, but man, that dude could make a fucking horror movie. So
Scream is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's a really good movie. Yeah. Original Nightmare is good, too.
Final thoughts on this one?
Don't watch it.
Like I said, kind of an interesting, if you're like late 90s comedy, a good snapshot of it, but not good.
This just isn't my kind of movie. You know, like, I don't like any of those movies.
Yeah.
I like it. I wouldn't recommend it by any means, but I think it's watchable.
There's like two good jokes. I laughed.
I would say you did legitimately laugh, yeah, at one point.
Yes, so. You had a few laughs on
that. Yeah. His joke about taking Spanish in high school a bunch of times. Very funny. That's a very genuinely funny line.
Yeah.
And people who were in it seemed to be having a good time doing it. So see what you will. See it, don't. I don't give a shit. Coming up next.
Hope you like that cage, though, because you're going to see that again.
Yeah, and that's the truth.
Bunch of cages.
Yeah.
What if, like, there was another cage on top? A Hogan-proof cage.
Nothing is Hogan-proof.
That's true.
They already had one of those at...
yeah. That was amazing. WCW did have a lot of gimmicks. Did WWF have like these kind of gimmicks that much?
Well, I mean, they had the Kennel from Hell. They had the Hell in a Cell. They had, yeah, I would say so.
But I mean, even so, like War Games, two cages next to each other. They had that one with the original Freedom Powder, where like it was like a fun house, like a kid. You know what I mean? It was like Hogan and Macho against a bunch of people.
That was WCW.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
But
WCW was always kind of innovating a little bit, innovating, air quotes. They're like, they're basically like, no, just
they're
always another one.
Right.
They're always throwing shit at the wall, see what's stuck.
No, that's a good point, Ty. You actually, that's,
three
you
pages,
nailed it.
Three cages. Plap. Yep. Nope, three cages did not work.
Yeah.
Three rings.
Four cages. Yeah.
Outside in a field. Whack.
Fighting on a bus.
Back of two Mack trucks.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe they've always been a little bit of crash TV where they're just doing crazy shit all
a
the
little
time.
Bit. Well, yeah. You know what, it's some fairground shit. They were fucking carnies.
When you're fighting from behind, too, you got to get noticed. So, like, that was their way to get noticed.
Right. Evil Knievel fight, two men, motorcycles, 18 buses. One man lands, one man probably dies.
Off the roof of Cobra Hall.
Oh, yeah, the monster truck.
The monster truck, yeah.
Right.
For the WCWTF podcast, I've been your host, the man of 1,004 names, Tyrell Box Office Bomb. Find me on Twitter at 1,004 names. If you like what we do, give us a rate and review wherever you find us. You listen to us. Hit us up on itiswithmikes.com. And if you really like what we do, throw us a buck or two, patreon.com/WCWTF podcast.
I'm Killer Greg. You can find me at KillerGreg17. Thanks for listening to this. I'm just thrilled by this episode. I know Ty's unhappy, but I don't care. It's like wrestling episode with very little wrestling. It's my dreams come true.
Greg's not happy till I'm not happy.
Somebody this week said that watching Ty and I interact with each other is like getting sucked into a vortex of sarcasm.
Yeah, pretty accurate. Very accurate. I am Megastar Mark. You can follow me at Megastar Mark on the tweet machines and give us a follow at WCWTF podcast. You know, my saddest moment, guys, I got to tell you this. I ran out of pictures to use for that. I saw that Lex Luger, Lex Express, WWE Network thing. And that one episode, it was like a 90-minute episode following Lex Luger around, probably gave me no shit about 100 pictures.
I just assumed you were just going frame by frame.
It was, right? You're not even exaggerating. There was a 5-minute span where I probably got like 30. It was amazing. Every time he showed his face, it was hilarious.
You should do your own podcast, Every Frame a Tweet.
Yep. Perfect. Great idea. I'm going to spin it off. But luckily, don't worry. They have some more hidden gems uploaded recently with Lex Luger. So this is new Lex Luger pictures for your viewing pleasure. Also crowds of WCW, all that fun stuff. Give us a follow. We definitely appreciate it.
Phenomenal.
All right. So next time, Slamboree, baby.
Yes.
Hot.
See you
wait. David Arquette, maybe we can talk about this now just for like leading into it for my own edification, maybe the listeners. David Arquette now goes to WCW to promote this movie.
Right.
He's in two pay-per-views, two what? What does he do? He's in three things, I know.
He's in this movie. He's in an episode of Nitro.
Yep.
I think maybe an episode of Thunder.
Yeah, I think so.
Leading up to it. And Slamboree.
Okay. We're not going to watch all the David Arquette things?
I think if you want to in your off time, I don't think we need to sit down and talk about it too much.
But we should talk about why going into this episode. I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit on the next episode as well. But David Arquette heavily involved in the next couple of episodes.
Right.
Pimping the movie.
And he was a popular person at the time. Not a hugely popular person, but a name.
Yeah. He was on the screen.
Yeah, and they make fun of him in the thing for... He was like the 1010 collect guy.
Right, yeah, 1-800, yeah, yeah, yeah.
1-800, yeah, 1-800 call AT, or 1-800 collect.
Which is so... People don't even understand what a collect call is, I don't think.
Right.
You found a payphone. You called a person's phone number that you knew off the top of your head. And they paid for it. David Arquette told you to do it.
Remember Hogan had one, too?
1-800-CALL-1010?
Yeah. There was like three, four. 1010-220? Yeah.
Yeah. Hogan had one, too?
Yeah, Hogan did have one. Yep.
Yeah. 1-800-BROTHER-BROTHER-DUDE, brother, call me brother, dude.
There's one that they sponsored WCW for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think he did some commercials for that.
I'm so mad the fucking Hogan is back.
That's gross.
Strict your fucking scruples. Yeah. I hate the WWE.
They're gross.
So next time we'll talk about David Arquette leading up to Slamboree 2000 and the Triple Cage Guitar Fest match.
I know what it was. He wins the title on Thunder. Yes. He goes to Slamboree to defend it.
No,
he
wins the title on Nitro. On Thunder, he signs away the title to whoever wins the Triple Cage match.
Yep.
And he's in DDP's corner. In the match.
Right.
And then he goes to Slamboree.
Yep, and he goes to Slamboree.
And then he's in the following Nitro.
Yes.
Because that's the Hollywood baby.
Yeah, line. Right.
Okay, all right.
Which is kind of just a bow on everything.
Right, got it. Okay. Well, there you go. That's a thing. Tune in next week.
Thing we'll be talking about.
Love you.
Bye.